This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but got to get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus. Where are you, Mark?
I am in Manhattan. It's beautiful here today, by the way.
It's
gorgeous.
It's starting to get fally around here, too, which I love because I hate the heat.
Favorite time of year. By the way, do you know what this episode, by the way, brand new sponsor, and they're sponsoring the entire episode. Did you know that?
Is that Alex and is it Ani?
It's Ani. Very good. Wow. Do you have kind of an Armo gene in you, don't you?
Well, I like to haggle, and I like shiny things. And they do say I apply too much cologne before I come into work, so I may have a little Armo in me.
Do you Alex, have back hair?
Alex and Ani Jewelry, by the way, and you can go to Alex and Ani. It's ANI.com/doubt.
Can I tell you something about Alex and Ani? I was telling this story yesterday because when I got here to New York, I was in Utah on a case, and then I came here to New York for a case. And so I wanted to visit Jake in his new restaurant where he's working. It's called the Muskrat Room, and apparently the Musket Room, and I always call it the Muskrat Room. Mm-hmm. And he gets very angry. But I didn't realize he was cooking there. I just wanted to go and see what it was like. And he came out, and two of the people there work at Alex and Ani, and I was telling the story that Jake was, when I was in L.A. last week, Jake was going to visit a girl. I won't say where because then she would be identified. And he wanted to take her a gift, okay? But he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to go to a Tiffany's because that was too much. He's never going to go to a Jared or a Kay's because that was a little, you know, for the, I guess, the stage of the relationship. So Jake's asking me, and I'm sitting with my buddy Jeff, and Jeff says, Jake, let me explain something to you. He says, Alex and Ani, you need, it's the perfect thing for you because you're 25, you don't have a ton of money, you don't want the girl to get the expectations too high. And so he got her some Armenian rose candle, got her a necklace, got her some earrings. I think all in was like $100 or something like that, right?
Right.
Jake disappears, and he said, Dad, I'm going, it's going to be an overnight, I'm going to meet the parents or whatever. Say, that's fine. 3 days later, I haven't seen the guy, literally. So I see him for the first time in New York. I said, Jake, what's the deal? He goes, man, was Jeff right about Alex and Ani. That was the best move I made. And I said, proud father, right?
I'm guessing that's code for he got some nookie. I'm assuming.
Well, you know, you're at a... both of us having daughters, we're kind of betwixt and between. I don't know who the comedian was who was just doing a routine. I think I watched the roast of Bruce Willis when he was saying, you never hear dads bragging about their daughters getting laid, you know? That's everything. Always they're very proud of their sons, but you never hear them bragging about their daughters.
It's funny because Bruce Willis has a daughter named Rumor.
Right.
And, you know, rumors are what people do, what you could say, oh, that's a rumor. Now we got a who's on first / Me Too movement going on. Simultaneously. Speaking of Me Too,
what is your, because I spent 2 hours on set at CNN on sentence watch, you know, for mm-hmm. Cosby. Mm-hmm. Where were you when you heard the Cosby sentence?
I woke up, I think I turned on my Twitter, and somebody just sort of made a joke that said, Bill, your sport coat is supposed to be draped over your cuffs. When they cuff you, like he missed it. Someone just said to me, this guy missed a golden opportunity to take his sport coat and drape it over the cuffs when they give you the perp walk.
That's the first perp walk. Normally, actually, I take that back. When McDougal was walking out of the Little Rock courthouse, she had, if you Google it, you can find the picture of her in the mini skirt as she's perp walked out of the court, the courthouse, with the handcuffs in front of her with the mini skirt. And she had mini skirt, he's got the very fashionable suspenders.
Right.
And looking like, did he look blind to you? It looked a little like vision impaired to me.
Yeah, I want to say this to Bill's spokesperson, attorney, or whomever who took the microphone after the verdict.
Andrew Wyatt, who was reading from his cell phone.
And called it racially based.
Yeah.
You give a bad name to all the other people who claim everything is racially based all the time, even if it's not. You actually give them a bad name.
Well, we're living
in a society where everything is racially based, and most of it isn't racially based, but you give those people a bad name when you claim this is racially based.
Well, I was just going to deduct style points, because when you come outside and you want to raise an issue after your client has been sentenced, and the idea of reading from your cell phone, which you're holding up in the camera angle, for style points, you lose quite a bit. That's not a good look, especially if you're a publicist. I mean, I can understand some lawyer who doesn't do this quite a bit. He doesn't want to make any mistakes. But if you're a publicist, this is your job.
How much time is Bill going to do?
Three years minimum. Pennsylvania's got this. They're kind of similar. It's kind of a bastardized federal system. They have sentencing guidelines. So when people were talking 30 years, you know, I was just kind of chuckling to myself. He's not going to get 30 years. They do sentencing guidelines. The sentencing guidelines were somewhere between 22 and 48, I think, or something like that. So, and the judge had already indicated before he gave the sentence that he was going to do what's called the heartland, meaning he was going to land somewhere in the middle. So he was telegraphing that he was going to do, I thought, 30 to 36 months. What I didn't know, and I found out while I was on air, one of my buddies, my guru, Ted Simon, who's a lawyer in Pennsylvania, texted me and said, if the judge had sentenced him to a day less than 24 months, so if he'd gotten 23 months and 29 days, the judge would have retained jurisdiction to let him out. If he had said, I'm going to sentence you to 2 to 10.
Right.
But if you're over 2 years, then the judge loses jurisdiction, apparently, and the parole board makes a finding when you do a parole hearing for every time you're eligible for parole, starting once you've actually done 3 years. So basically the judge says, I want this out of my hair.
What kind of facility will he enter?
This is a state facility, and it will be similar to where Jerry Sandusky is housed. So it'll be in the state of Pennsylvania. They will, based on his age and his infirmity, it would not surprise me if he's housed in a medical wing of some facility. But right now he's in the kind of the county jail version, where they probably usually keep you on suicide watch for 72 to 96 hours. Then once you make it through that period of time, then they'll assess you. They'll take a look at the sentence. They'll say 3 years. They take a look that he's a sexually violent predator. They then will probably find a state prison where they've got a program to reprogram him because he's an SVP, which is a sexually violent predator.
So there is no Martha Stewart-esque Club Fed. It is just a prison, as we've seen in any documentary or prison, any depiction of a prison.
Correct, because Martha was prosecuted in federal court, so she went to a federal facility. I forget the one she went to. I have a client recently who was sentenced, and we got him housed, and he's now in Morgantown, which is in West Virginia, which is a really nice facility, what people refer to as Club Fed. I've got another client who just came out after doing 12 months and in a federal facility, lost over 100 pounds, and had commented to me, you know, they took a year of my life, but I probably gained back 15 because no longer having to take the medicines he was on, and a guy my age who was not in peak physical condition. So he used the opportunity to get himself in shape.
Well,
do you remember our discussion about that?
Yes, I remember. I tell people, it's funny, Mark, but I use your name. I was speaking to some people last weekend, and I said, I always, I'm sort of jealous of people who go to prison for like 1 year. I feel like I could get in great shape and write a great screenplay and, you know, wouldn't have to deal with the nagging and the day-to-day stuff. And
can you imagine just losing your phone and your computer for a year and just kind of working on yourself for a year?
I tell everyone, Mark Garagos had an eye procedure. He couldn't fly for several weeks or months. He had to go back and forth to the East Coast. He thought it was a death sentence. He got in a rock and roll tour bus and got more done than he'd ever gotten done in any 7 week period in his life. This was a blessing. It was a mitzvah.
Exactly. It's exactly true. I crammed 7 years worth of soul searching into 7 weeks of production.
So let's get on to Kavanaugh. Now, people should know that as we're taping this, the Kavanaugh hearing is going on, and we're obviously not going to have results for you right now, but Mark will come back and do an addendum to this when we get some more news and tack it on to the show you're listening to now. So in a way, it's redundant. When you hear this show, you will hear everything, but be prepared for sort of not so sure about part one and then part two with some real answers after we get some real information.
Right. And I was telling Gary right before you got on, I said, we're taping this on Wednesday, and tomorrow is going to be a shit show of monumental proportions from a legal standpoint. I mean, and you can say what you want about Trump, but he's an evil genius. He knew enough that while all of this stuff is percolating, and that, okay, if Dr. Blasey Ford wants Thursday, and she's going to get Thursday, and the Senate's going to give Thursday, and Kavanaugh's going to be on Thursday, well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell Rod Rosenstein to mosey on down to the White House on Thursday, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to wait and see what happens in the Senate, and then we'll wait and see, and I'll dangle Rosenstein as a deflection. I mean, it's truly inspired Machiavellian diabolical strategic planning. And the irony of this, and we talk about this all the time, at least I talk about this all the time, you know, Kavanaugh, who I affectionately used to refer to as Butt Boy down in Arkansas as his nickname when he was in Whitewater, was famously the guy on Ken Starr's team of the independent counsel. He was an independent counsel, and obviously he was much younger than he was in his, God, he must have been about 30s. Yeah, I think he was early 30s. He was like 33 back then in Arkansas, maybe a little younger than that.
Well, he's only like 53 or 54 now.
Yeah, 53
so if
or 54
it was more
now. We're talking the 90s. I mean, this was the 90s. He was on the Whitewater team. So was Rosenstein, as I've told you a million times. I mean,
how old? 35?
Yeah, both those
35.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Gary, don't do three and then five.
I did five and three.
He was 53. Oh, he's 53. That's okay.
Yeah, so he had to be 33.
Hold on. But Gary, I know how old he is now. I'm asking how old he was in Whitewater. If that's early 90s, he's in his late 20s.
Yeah, and so both those guys were on Ken Starr's team, and famously Kavanaugh was the guy who was kind of tasked with the Monica Lewinsky portion after the Whitewater kind of fizzled. And so now both of their fates are going to intersect 20 years later on the same Thursday, which is tomorrow, but when you're listening to this 2 days ago, which is just, and both of them revolving around, or at least Kavanaugh revolving around sex, and he is the guy who was pursuing Clinton on Lewinsky, Kavanaugh was, and then Rosenstein was the guy who was kind of the, he was working hand in hand with Mike Emick, who's passed away, and with Chuck Backley, who was the spokesperson. When they moved the investigation up to Washington, it's ironic, I suppose, that now that we've got what are we on the third accuser as of today when we're taping this.
Well, so let's break down this game film. And yes, we're living in times where Bill Cosby is going to jail, the nation's father, the greatest dad in the world, the man everyone looked up to, white, black, and beyond, is now going to jail for
Adam,
comically evil things.
He's going, the black man's going to jail, the white man's going to the Supreme Court.
That's right. It's just crazy times we're living in. But so the accusers.
Let's break down the accusers. I really, when you
say Ken Starr report was 98?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know
it was that late in the 90s.
Yeah, because I tried. McDougal was November. Next month is 20 years since she was acquitted in Santa Monica, and then she was acquitted in, we got her a not guilty in Arkansas in, I think it was March of 99, somewhere around there. So it's 20 years.
So he would have been 33 or so.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I mean,
what?
He was still a little, I don't know if he was still a virgin then, but I did call him butt boy. I mean, part of his defense is that he was a virgin for many years after high school. For all I know, when he was in Arkansas, he was a virgin.
Well, you know, I was a virgin for a while too and did a few despicable things before my cherry was popped.
You don't think being a virgin gives you immunity?
No, I honestly, if somebody says,
Adam, how crazy, can we just step back for one second before this discussion? Did you ever think in your wildest dreams, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, when we were in high school, did you ever think the world would be like this right now?
No. And on the happy front, I have a cell phone. And on the sad front is I can Google in a Kavanaugh virgin and find out a bunch of information about him being a virgin. So there's good news and bad news.
Yeah, we've got one Supreme Court justice who apparently likes pubes on Coke cans. We got another Supreme Court justice who's proudly proclaiming his virginity and doing trains. I mean, it's like, I swear I'm being punked.
Well, all right, let's try to break down this.
Okay.
Let's break down the game
let's
film.
Let's do accuser number one. Dr. Blasey Ford. Okay?
Yes, there's a few things. One is, can we find another picture of her other than on a paddleboard in the bay outside the Giants game? I can't stand seeing the same picture. It's the same picture. I want a new picture.
I mean, the guys on the internet, I saw this morning, I don't know if you saw this, they've got pictures of the lawyer apparently walking behind Hillary Clinton when Hillary's wearing a kind of a plaid pup tent. And they can find a picture of the lawyer with Hillary, but they can't find another picture of this poor woman who's on a paddleboard with the worst pair of sunglasses I've ever seen in my life.
And also, when you're looking for a picture of somebody, them wearing reflective wraparound shades is not the one you're looking for. When you go through airport security and they hold up your license, they go, sir, take your glasses and your hat off because they want to see what you look like.
Well, she's a professor. Don't they have a website at her college?
I don't know. I've only seen one picture of her for the last 2 weeks. Okay.
I don't understand.
So her story.
Is she just incognito ever since Kavanaugh groped her and she's never had a picture taken again?
Hold on a second. I got a theory. Maybe they're different pictures and she only sits on paddle boards in the bay at Giants game. And these are all different pictures, but that's the way she travels.
Okay, she obviously graduated from college. She obviously has a postgraduate degree. There obviously has to be a graduation picture out there. She's one of her supposed witnesses is a lifelong friend. They don't have a picture. Lifelong friend, you don't have one picture of the two of you together?
It drives me nuts. Okay, aside.
This one. Okay, there is five people in the house. She doesn't remember when it happened. She doesn't remember the year. And all four people deny it. Okay, that's a DA reject. You know what a DA reject is?
Yeah.
Cops take the case to the DA. The DA writes out a reject slip that says no corroboration. Okay?
Okay, so that's number one. Also, there's some kooky stuff, which is she can't fly because after the assault, she can't stay in confined places, but she did some work in Hawaii recently.
She paddleboarded.
Oh, she paddled to Hawaii.
That's
where we got
the
picture.
That was where the picture came from. That's why the wraparound glasses. You know how long it takes to paddleboard from California to Hawaii, from San Francisco to Hawaii?
Why would you say that? So, Mark, wouldn't you worry if you were her attorney and you would say, look, she's got to drive to D.C. She can't take a plane because after this episode, she's unable to fly. But you could easily find out whether she flew to Hawaii or flew back east recently. Why would you make that proclamation?
More power to you if you're a zealous lawyer and that's what you're doing. I get it. All I'm going to say is DA reject.
Okay, so number one is a DA reject.
Number two is the one that drives me personally crazy. This and I'm not making this up. Go to the New Yorker article by Ronan Farrow and I think, what's the woman's name? Meyer?
Something.
They literally, they start off with the, you know, the scurrilous, scandalous headline. And then you read the article, and I read carefully the article.
Jane Meyer, go ahead.
Jane Meyer. Buried two-thirds of the way, I don't know, halfway down in the article is a quote from the accuser. Do you know what this quote says? I hope Gary's got it up.
Yes.
Something to the effect is, I was loaded, I was drunk, there are gaps in my memory, I went to see my lawyer, and 6 days later, I'm now sure of my story.
Right.
Is that, am I, Gary, am I misquoting?
No, you've got it pretty darn close.
Yeah, right. Okay. Not only DA reject, the lawyer has got some splaining to do. I mean, you don't come in, the last thing you want to do when a client comes into your office is start programming the client, because God forbid that your client is ever going to get under oath and say exactly what accuser number two said. Now, the irony of all ironies is accuser number three, and this came out within the last 90 minutes, I believe, is Michael Avenatti's accuser, which everybody was pilloring him yesterday because there was somebody who claimed they had spoofed him or this or that. The fact remains, his accusation, which nobody as yet has in contraction or anything else, is the only one that's real evidence. He's got a declaration under penalty of perjury. He's got somebody who's literally putting themselves out there, identifying themselves, and has got some street cred, and that's the accusation that nobody's paying attention to. So the world has been turned on its head.
So accusation number one, that's a DA reject.
It's a DA reject. What, and you know what? This idea, I'm going to give both sides of the aisle, are just unbelievable here. First of all, we said this last week, but Dianne Feinstein, I agree with the Republicans. How do you sit on this and say, I want to respect somebody's confidentiality? Well, if they wanted confidentiality, you don't go to your senator because you know that something's going to happen with it. And if she's got it, then turn it over. You don't question the guy and then turn it over after the fact unless you're playing politics. So that being said. Then you got Mitch McConnell, who's going out there. And, you know, he makes a great closing argument for a criminal defense lawyer, if you saw it on the Senate floor. It's a great criminal defense lawyer closing argument. Only problem is, you're not the advocate. You're supposed to be the Judiciary Committee being the judge. You're supposed to be neutral. And so that's a joke. I mean, both sides of the aisle. And then you've got the woman, the senator from Hawaii, who says, I believe her. I said, what do you mean you believe her? You haven't even seen her. You haven't even asked her a question. You believe her? It's what happened to the notion of due process? What happened? And then, let me give you another slam. The lawyer for Christine Blasey Ford, says that she wants Kavanaugh to testify first. Well, I appreciate zealous advocacy, but guess what? Do you know what system of jurisprudence used to have the accused testify before the accuser? By the way, that was the Spanish Inquisition. That was what they used to do. You used to not know what the charge was, and they would just throw you in front of the Inquisition, and they would hurl the charges at you, and you had no idea what you were being charged with or what you were being accused of. So, it's crazy town where we are.
The senator or the congresswoman from Hawaii, I believe her brain is being eaten by the same seagull that Maxine Waters' brain was devoured by some years ago. She sounds like a crazy person to me, Maisie, whatever. She not only crazy, but wildly incompetent and semi-uneducated. I am devastated at how insane many of our representatives sound when they speak. All right, so let me do this with you, Mark, because it's such a treat to get your opinions and passion on this. If you were to give the first accuser a number of 1 to 10, 10 being a lead pipe cinch, gold, as a person who does this for a living, a person you uncovered or found in your camp, 10 is the best, 1 is a DA reject, or 1 is not going to work, probably not great. in your opinion, what would you give the first accuser?
As of right now, and mind you, I don't want to be a senator. What's her last name from Hawaii? Where we've already...
Hirono.
Right. And McConnell's the same way. He's already, you know, I believe Kavanaugh. At least Kavanaugh has testified. So you've got something to base it on. All I know is what I've read the accusations are and what I've read as to the lack of corroboration. That's a, what's your term? A nothing burger?
Yeah. So yeah, would you give her two? Would you give her two?
Two until I see her, and if we top off the show on Friday, I'll reassess.
All right, second accuser.
Second accuser. Look, based on the article, and apparently the article is now, if you're Ronan Farrow, you just write stuff and prosecutors prosecute based on whatever Ronan Farrow writes. But even in Ronan Farrow's article, that's beyond a nothing burger. That one offends me. Anybody, when they say, I was loaded, I got gaps in my memory, and I'm not sure that it was even him, and then I go into my lawyer's office, and now I'm positive, that, you know what that reminds me of? When you get investigated by the Special Investigations Unit of an insurance company, they put you, they do a declaration under oath where you have to make a statement. And one of the first questions they ask you is, what did you do right after the accident? You know what the wrong answer is? I went to see my lawyer. The right answer is I went to the doctor.
Right.
So if you say I went to see my lawyer, that tends to speak volumes as to what your motivation and what your intentions are. The idea that I've got no memory, I've got gaps in my memory, I don't know the time period, and so therefore, I went to my lawyer. I didn't go to my hypnotist, Pat the Hip Hypnotist. I didn't go to a psychiatrist. I didn't go to Drew. I didn't go to Pasadena Recovery Center. I went to my lawyer's office. I'd love to talk to the lawyer for accuser number two. I would love for Gary to get that person on and explain to me how that makes any sense and why that doesn't just offend the whole idea of what you're doing as a lawyer.
And number three, the latest Avenatti client.
I'm going to give Avenatti credit. I mean, they trolled the shit out of him yesterday, and at least he came out. He's got somebody who's got bona fides, and they took the step, and this kind of echoes Mitch McConnell, the one. I'll give Mitch one kudo, even though most of the time I want to hit him over the head. He said people who stepped up and under penalty of felony. That's a new thing. I never heard it till this week. You ever heard under penalty of felony before?
No.
That's the new thing. It used to be under penalty of perjury, but
sure,
now it's under penalty of felony, which is, I guess, you lied to the FBI, and that can be a false statement under 1001. At least what he did is he filed declarations, or he produced declarations under penalty of perjury. Then that's potentially admissible evidence. Even though it's hearsay, at least somebody is saying, under penalty of perjury, here you go, I'm putting up, or shutting up. That, to me, is more legit. The other two drive me, we're in some kind of a video game that's masquerading as due process.
Well, I'll tell you the part that angers me or saddens me or whatever's me. I don't mind the part where the lawyer's trying to do what he's trying to do, or the accuser's trying to do what she's trying to do, or the Democrats or the Republicans are trying to do what they're trying to do. The rest of us, meaning if you work at Fox or CNN or MSNBC, and if you're Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow or whomever, you're supposed to basically be a referee slash umpire slash observer. You're the one who's in the juror's box. You're supposed to be over there hearing the evidence and making a decision. When I then turn on the TV and I have to hear Anderson Cooper and other people that are on his show, sometimes even attorneys, explain like, oh, I believe her, or I've heard enough. Or
right.
It's like, those are the people I want
to
strangle.
I'm with you. I wanted to scream. And you know what? Tucker Carlson's a perfect example on the right. You've got people on MSNBC who I want to just scream on the left. Just try for a second to pretend that you're neutral. Do not just say, I believe. What do you believe? You haven't seen anything. How do you know where you're? Or I disbelieve. He's a liar. How do you know? I don't even understand what's it based
on. The people I get the most angry at, again, it's not the coach of this team or the coach of that team or the players on this team or that team. They're trying to win a game. It's when Joy Behar takes a microphone and starts bloviating and people listen to her and she knows nothing. Yeah. That's the scary part to me.
Look, you're preaching to the choir. It's
so, Avenatti, what number would we give if it was your client and you were trying to get this case made?
That is something that approaches that leapfrogs over a five. I mean, we're not even in the DA reject zone because that's somebody who stepped up. They haven't, There's at least a foundation of something that is arguably admissible as opposed to just a, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, it's astonishing to me that we've reached the point where people are just condemning and trashing somebody. And I'm not even talking just Kavanaugh. I'm just talking in the public square that at a certain point, somebody's got to call time out and say, no, we don't do this.
What number would you?
I give it a 7.
You give it a 7?
As of right now.
As of right now.
I don't know enough. I don't want to be like one of these others who just automatically. Yes. The only reason I give it credibility, somebody declared under penalty of perjury, and they've got a pedigree where they've actually accomplished something, and they're standing behind it. So, you know, you want to, basically, they're actually stepping up. That, to me, is they're not trying to hide behind this or that. They're actually an accuser, which is, by the way, what for 250 years this country has been based on.
It's penalty of felony. Sorry,
penalty Mark. Of felony.
I don't normally
thank
correct you,
you,
in the law ease. All right. I want to thank Alex and Ani. You can go to alexandani, ANI.com/doubt. They make great stuff. Look, if Mark says they make great jewelry, they make great jewelry. Because
they not only make great jewelry, but, you know, they've got another thing, a component which I love. They've given over $50 million to various charities that are worthwhile over the years. $50 million. This is a private company. So, you know, for people who say put your money where your mouth is, they certainly do.
So check them out. And you can, I'll give a couple plugs for me. I'm doing Saturday, October 27th, Phoenix, Arizona, Stand Up Live, doing a couple of shows there, Basic Cable Commentary. And then the 30th in Anaheim, that's November 30th, The Grove with Rob Riggle. Go to Chassis, go to adamcarolla.com if there's anything you want. But keep in mind, and we'll give some plugs for Mark, but there's part two of this show, and we're going to jump ahead in time and answer a lot of these questions. So, Mark, why don't you give your plugs, and then don't tune out, people.
Plugs.
We're going for part two.
If you're in New York, stop by Grand Central Station, Prova Pizza, down there right next to the bakery and the Shake Shack. If you're in San Clemente, stop by the Casa Tropicana, Palm Springs, the V Hotel. Gary, you like the V Hotel?
I love it out there.
He loves the V Hotel. Engine Company 28 downtown LAX and Mediterranean Tapas and some other stuff over at 10E.
All right. Now, don't go anywhere. And normally this is where I say mahalo, but I'm not. I'm
right,
going to say...
We'll say Shanora Gollum.
Adam Carolla for Mark Gerges saying... Get ready for part two.
Hey, this is the special fresh version or freshened up version of Reasonable Doubt. Adam is on the road. In fact, my mole tells me that as we're taping this, he's on the track. And his taking his place this week is none other than Tenny Rose Gerges coming straight from the offices of Ben Brofman to give us her perspective with me weighing in on what has been an incredible week, to say the least. Right, Gary? Has this been a week or what?
It has been a crazy couple of days.
I mean, who would
really
have thought?
Has. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tenny. Welcome. And thank you for being a very good hostess at Ben Brofman's office. I appreciate it. I've seen Jacob, and I haven't seen Ignifilo, so I don't know where he's at, but well, maybe I'll see him next week. Tenny, give us an update, if you will, as to where we're at as we speak. Everybody, I'm sure, since the last was riveted. If you're listening to this show, you were probably riveted to the Senate yesterday and the hearings yesterday. Give us your updated today, and then I'm going to go back and forth and see whether you agree or disagree with your father on my takeaways from yesterday.
Okay, well, I'll just say that right now, as we are taping this, it's about 3:20 on Friday, and it has been a very eventful day. To give the broad picture, the Senate Judiciary Committee just voted to send the nomination to the floor, but only under one condition. Senator Flake will only support it if there's a brief FBI investigation that lasts no longer than a week. This morning, Democrats and a few Republican governors and, astonishingly, the American Bar Association urged that the committee halt the vote until an actual FBI investigation commenced. What happened after that is there was an 11-10 vote, and then now they're going to send it to the floor, but only if there's an investigation. As for what comes next, none of us really know. This is a bit unprecedented, and the senators are discussing what to do.
Did you see, Tenney or Gary, did you guys see the woman who was yelling at Flake in the elevator?
There were two of them.
There were two, and I have to say it brought tears to my eyes because they were crying, and Flake looked uncomfortable, but it clearly affected him. That came, of course, right after he posted on his website that he was going to vote to confirm Kavanaugh. And the protesters who were outside, you know, as he's in the elevator, just yelled at him for almost 5 minutes. Wouldn't you say, Gary, it was about 5-10 minutes?
It was a prolonged period of time. I saw a replay clip of it that was probably only two, but that part was so uncomfortable. It felt like 10.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to channel my inner Adam at first. I bet you Adam, when he watches that, is going to say he thinks it was the senator from Hawaii who was doing the yelling, but it was not. And as Tenney points out, it not only affected him, it came on the heels, which went viral, that Flake said, and I think, if I remember correctly from a couple of days ago when we actually taped this, that I had said that Flake, I thought, was in a critical position here. In fact, yesterday I was kind of a smartass saying that I thought Flake had a diabolical plan. I thought he had convinced the other Republicans to hire this woman, this prosecutor from Maricopa County in Arizona, Mitchell, to do the questioning because she was so lame, and this was the way that Flake was going to pay back Trump. But then he surprised everyone this morning when he said that he was going to vote to confirm Kavanaugh, and then that set the stage for this confrontation that he had in front of the elevator or in the elevator, and apparently it affected him greatly because he all of a sudden said, "Okay, I'm going to put a condition on sending this to the floor."
You bring up you bring up Adam, Mark, and I just want to jump in with that. I think it's a blessing and a curse for all of us and for Adam especially that he's been racing this weekend, because especially yesterday, I was sitting around the Corolla Studios with some of his other producers, and we were taking notes on things like Cory Booker. I think he said told her truth about Dr. Ford's testimony like 6 or 8 times. I mean, there was just so much in this that Adam would have loved and so much more that he would have absolutely hated.
Right, and can you imagine how much I think that the Kavanaugh beer, you know, the beer memes and the beer tapes is like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, how does this guy now sit on the Supreme Court after that beer rant?
Well, those memes will be around forever.
I think we have to back up a little to maybe some viewers who didn't watch yesterday.
Right. So why don't
explain what happened.
What's your takeaway of Dr. Blasey Ford?
I've heard it both ways, so I know you mess up pronunciations often, but I'm not going to do better here.
And Penny jumps she jumps my ass when I mispronounce Robert Mueller's name as well.
Yeah, it's a quirk of mine.
Did you, Penny? Did you believe her truth?
I did believe her. Did you?
Yeah, I thought she was convinced. I thought she made a heck of a witness. The problem,
I thought
from
so
my
as well.
Standpoint. Yeah, I thought she made a great witness, but the problem from my standpoint, I've often had witnesses that I thought were great on direct, and but then kind of crumbled or at least gave you a lot of pause on cross. There was no cross. As far as I was concerned, there was absolutely no cross. And I don't know what the point of that prosecutor was. Lindsey Graham obviously had lost his mind at one point when he was talking. And I thought the person who actually came off the best, if you're going to rate the senators, was the woman, Amy, and I don't want to mispronounce her last name, from Minnesota. Both yesterday and today, she gave a rather a measured, tone-appropriate speech today, which I thought was effective. I mean, really effective. I thought I don't know much about her. I think, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't she appointed to take over for Al Franken? Or maybe she wasn't. I don't know. I just know she's from Minnesota. But she was I thought she did a better than a workmanlike job. I thought she was persuasive, and I thought she hit the right tone. Some of these other people I just thought were so tone deaf, and I don't even know what audience they were playing to.
It's Klobuchar, I believe, and she was elected in 2006 and then reelected in a landslide in 2012.
I can see why she would be reelected. She's extremely impressive. I mean, she's. What's her background? Is she a ex-prosecutor?
It appears that she was a corporate lawyer until being elected a county attorney in 98, making her responsible for criminal prosecution. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's got. You can always tell Tenney will get mad at me when I say this, or maybe she won't. I always think that the county lawyers, because they're in court so much more, if you've got any game in the county, you're leagues ahead of the federal
I completely agree with that.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. See, and she was. I thought she was good today, and I just. That Brett Kavanaugh, I've just never seen. I've never seen the way he was yesterday. I mean, that's not the guy I knew 20 years ago when Tenney was running around Little Rock with me at 7 years old.
I might be unpopular for saying this, but, you know, I think this type of situation, and actually it's not unpopular. I think with anyone who's faced with an accusation, it can really drive somebody mad. And instead of using the time, I think my takeaway is instead of using that time to effectively prepare as a witness, he used the time to stew and thought that it would help him. And it clearly didn't, because stewing only leads you, I think, to being a worse witness. And I think that was totally clear.
You know what it reminded me of? A number of years ago, I won't name the name, but I had a client who insisted on taking the stand over my dead body. I objected to it. I went in chambers. I said, you know, you're going to destroy the case and blah, blah, blah. And he insisted on taking the stand. And he made a very good witness on direct. But to augment Tenney's or amplify Tenney's point, upon cross, that stewing, and this is why I always tell clients, especially the ones who are in custody or just sitting there, see, you're never going to compete against a seasoned prosecutor, especially if you're in custody. You're sitting in some cement box. They wake you at 3 in the morning. You're eating bologna sandwiches, and this guy's gotten out of his nice warm bed and driven to court, and he's prepared, and he's got hot and cold running agents and law enforcement helping him. And here was Kavanaugh.
And not only that, you have everyone else in the jail telling you what you should do, which is never
what you should do. And he was in his own jail, apparently, at the White House, where they were in their bubble. And he did. He was. And I get the idea of being falsely accused. I mean, and this is somebody that I knew and had respect for, even though I had a nickname for him. But he just kind of melted down. And it started, I think, at least my observation was, that it started when he started talking about the calendar that he started when he was a kid to emulate his father. And you can see where he got very emotional thinking about emulating his father and making his father proud. And it took him a long time to recover from that. And this format was so idiotic of 5 minutes with Mitchell and then 5 minutes of a Democrat doing a speech and then 5 minutes back to Mitchell and then who's tossing a softball and then 5 minutes back to, you know, somebody else and their histrionics. You just can't get any traction, number one. And I don't, it's antithetical, I think, to actually getting to the truth.
I completely agree with that.
Don't you think, Denny, I mean, you've been what? How long have you been practicing now?
2.5 years.
Have you ever, did anything, watching yesterday, did any of that even remotely resemble a court proceeding to you?
No, but I am thankful and grateful that they did it. I'm glad that they finally came to their senses and decided we're going to actually question each of them rather than dismiss someone's claim and not hear from both parties, because I think it's so important to hear from both parties in situations like this, especially when we've seen a lot of powerful men get either fired or dismissed without us seeing their side ever. And so I think it's really important to hear from them, even if we don't believe them. To still hear from them is very important.
Yeah, and I don't know that I necessarily don't believe Kavanaugh, although a number of his classmates came out and said he was a drunk and in college and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he obviously, it struck a nerve, and he was obviously very emotional, and it's obvious that, you know, this is one of the hardest things, I suppose, if you're a juror, is to try to decide who's telling the truth when, you know, corroboration is this, that, or the other thing. And I don't know that either of them. Well, I will take that back, because Blasey Ford, Gary, I gave her a very low rating because I hadn't seen anything yet when Adam was asking me to rate. I have to give her a higher rating based on her testimony. I thought based on the testimony that we saw that she gets a higher rating, I would have liked to have seen a decent cross. I don't think that's a representative cross-examination of what somebody should do. And I also don't think that Kavanaugh acquitted himself all that well, although I understand completely his frustration with the process, his embarrassment. I mean, it's got to be mortifying to be him, don't you think?
I do. I will remind you that you you gave her a 2, but you reserved that based on seeing her, you know, now yesterday.
Yeah, because and by the way, that's why you want to see somebody. That's why you can't, you know, you're part of a jury instruction that you get, every juror gets, or every trier of fact, is you're not supposed to come in and give people automatic points just by virtue of who they are. You know, whether you're a federal judge, a cop, or a 2-time felon, you get instructions on how to view witnesses. I mean, if you're a felon, you know, you can use that to take that into account on how you view somebody. If you're a cop, you don't get bonus points just for being a cop. If you're a federal judge, you can take into consideration that somebody's got a history of living a blemish-free life. But at the same time, you don't get status points just because of who you are, so to speak. Everybody's supposed to start at a basic baseline. And I think I said also that Avenetti's client got more points from me because that was something where at least there was some evidence. There was somebody who declared under penalty of perjury. There was somebody who had a history of getting through security clearances, just like Kavanaugh has. I mean, Kavanaugh has had background checks by the FBI, I believe 6 times. So, you know, you get certain, you know, those are arguments that can be made and things you can consider if you're a trier of fact.
So I think I would be doing Adam a disservice if I didn't remind you that you did, in fact, give Avenetti's accuser a 7 and demand a revised Blasey Ford number.
Yeah, I think Blasey Ford I would now give a 7. And Avenetti's client hasn't moved because we haven't heard anything, so I'll leave it where I am.
Fair enough.
I give it 7. Yeah, and I don't, you know, now what did we rate Kavanaugh before?
We did not give Kavanaugh a numerical rating, no, but we can now if you'd like.
Okay, first I'm going to start with Tenney. Tenney, what do you give Kavanaugh on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being best, 1 being a complete lying snitch at the county jail.
Oh, man, I'm going to rate a federal judge.
Yeah.
I'm just starting.
Right? Yeah, you're just starting out your career. Forget it. Don't do that. I'll do it. I would have given him a 7 if he hadn't done the beer rant, and if he had stopped sniffling.
Maybe it's more fun, Mark, if you rate rather the chances that you think he ends up a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way. I think he's hovering at an 8 or a 9 that he gets confirmed. I think the pressure on, I literally have a theory that the Republicans at this point have decided as a party that they're going to lose the House anyway in November, and the Senate is in play, and that the firewall for them is that there's never going to get 2/3 of the Senate to impeach Trump. So they're willing to just throw the House election away anyway, because they think it's a foregone conclusion, and they would much rather, if they could keep control of the House or have the 5th vote on the Supreme Court, they'd rather have the 5th vote on the Supreme Court. So I think he's at an 8 or a 9 on getting confirmed.
So can I pose a question to the two of you?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't recall if we gave a strong time earlier in the episode, but we're recording this about 3:30 Eastern on Friday. Shortly after the flake thing happened, Trump was filmed in the Oval Office and was asked what he thought about the week delay. And he seemingly said, whatever the Senate wants to do, I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's great, but doesn't he have to order the FBI investigation, or can the judiciary do that on their own? So that's the first question. And the second question is, do you think, you know, obviously this could be different an hour from now, do you think we get the full week? Flake said at least a week. And when do you think there is a final vote?
Penny, you want to weigh in or you want me?
Go. You can start. I'll go. Then I'll.
Okay. I think I've read online that the president has to order the FBI investigation. I don't think that's true. I think that the committee has the ability to have the FBI they can order the FBI to do an expanded background investigation, and that's what they can do and presumably will do. And I believe that there's precedent for that to only take 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I don't have anything separate, but I don't think it's going to take just – I actually totally just – I think they'll take the full week, because I think once the FBI is involved, they're not – especially after everything that happened with Comey, they don't want to look like they're going to do just a sham investigation. They're going to want to speak with not just the two we've heard from, but with Judge, and then I think with the two other women.
So Tenney,
what do you think about the fact that the lingering stench of the FBI, to quote Trump, now... And when did the Democrats become the party of law enforcement and the Republicans become the criminal defense party?
They're not going to take just 3 days. I think if they just take 3 days after the everything they've been accused of this year, that would be shocking to me. It's a Friday right now.
So, Tenney, you think the vote is next Saturday?
Yeah, let's say next Friday.
I would actually love the vote to be next Friday. You know why? From a personal standpoint.
Reasonable Doubt comes out on Saturday?
Right, and my birthday is Friday. So, you know, it would be the best birthday present of all to watch everybody voting on my birthday.
Ruining the surprise I had planned. You got me last year. I'm coming for you.
And by the way, next week, stay tuned. And we stepped all over my personal big news, which was Eric Reed getting signed yesterday by the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, we were getting
that. By the way, right?
That's
big news week.
Yes. You can't even – in any other news week, that would have been wall-to-wall. And I couldn't be happier for Eric. And I think by next Reasonable Doubt, we may have some other news, other NFL news. I got my fingers crossed.
Well, I think if you want to wrap it up there, that's as good a time as any. I'm furiously texting Mark to figure out what the hell that is off air. But anything else you guys want to add?
Well, let me just thank Alex and Upley for sponsoring this entire broadcast of Reasonable Doubt, go to Alex, A-L-E-X, and A-N-D, Ani, ANI.com/doubt. For Tenny, why don't you do a little Tenny accuses me of beating the bracelets myself up in Rhode Island, but you would probably, Tenny, support me when I say they really turn out a good product at a good price, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course. No, and I'm an Armenian-founded company. I love it. I think they're fashionable. They go with anything you wear, and you can personalize them by getting something that matches your name, your sign,
the best
your personality.
The best part for me is that I can go in there and shop for every woman in my family with ages ranging from, you know, 60 down to 15 or so. And then the reason my wife loves it the best is that if you they give so much to charity, but you can really drill down and buy specific pieces that go to the exact charity that you want it to go to, which I think is really cool. They've given over $50 million to charity, which is just crazy.
And to make it even better, they're giving a free mystery gift until September 30th if you spend over $50. So you should go check out the website.
I love it. Thank you, and thanks to all the Reasonable Doubt listeners. We may even do, who knows? Gary and I are on special ops when it comes to legal or breaking news. So we may come back to you sooner than next Saturday, huh? Right, Gary?
Absolutely. If you're listening to this, you know it came out on Friday, which is a little unusual. We're breaking news just like everyone else these days.
You got it. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tenny.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Gary and Dad.
Until next time, and God knows it could drop at any time, for Tenny Garrigus, Gary, and myself, and Adam Carolla racing around a track as we speak. This is a special edition of Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.